Let me welcome you back to session two of our training on how to start a church-based Bible Institute.
Ijinkan abi nyambut saudara dina sesi dua kumaha ngalatih hiji gereja dumasar sekolah Alkitab.
It's a great privilege again to be able to share with you some things that are near and dear to my heart.
Kembali mangrupikeun hiji kesempatan istimewa di mana abi tiasa ngabagikeun sababaraha hal anu aya dina hati abdi.
In the first session, we covered the overall pattern that we find in the Word of God for the development of leaders.
Dina sesi kahiji urang nuncal sadaya pola anu kapendak dina dawuhan Gusti kanggo para pamimpin.
That pattern is found in the ministry of Christ, and of course in the pattern seen within the apostles, and especially the apostle Paul.
Pola eta kapendak dina pelayanan Kristus sareng tangtu bae pola anu katingal dina para rasul utamina rasul Paulus.
It's absolutely vital for every local church to develop a training institute to equip God's people for effective service.
Hal ieu penting kanggo setiap gereja lokal kanggo ngembangkeun hiji pelatihan ngalengkepan umat Gusti pikeun pelayanan efektif.
Remember, in the first century church, buildings were not nearly as important as the gathering of believers together.
Emut, dina gereja abad kahiji gedung-gedung tepati priyogi kanggo tempat karumpul.
They met on Solomon's porch, they met in houses, they met in rented facilities, wherever they could gather to have the teaching of the Word of God, that's where they would go.
Maranehna tepang di tepas Salomo, tepang di imah-imah, gedung anu disewa, di mana bae maranehna ngariung kanggo ngawurukan dauhan Gusti.
As church leaders, we must be flexible and utilize whatever it is that God places in our hands to equip God's people for effective ministry.
Lalu pamimpin gereja urang kedah fleksibel sareng ngamanfaatkeun naon bae anu ditempatkeun Gusti dina panangan urang kanggo ngalengkepan umat Gusti kanggo pelayanan efektif.
In this session we're going to be looking at three primary areas.
Dina sesi ieu urang badhe ningal tilu hal.
We're going to review the goals or the objectives of an educational or training ministry.
Urang badhe malikan sasaran tina pelayanan pendidikan atanapi pelatihan.
We're also going to look at a biblical philosophy for educational ministry.
Urang oge badhe ningal kana filosofi kitab suci kanggo pelayanan pendidikan.
Then we're going to take a look at how to pre-plan or prepare yourself for the actual development of your Bible Institute.
Lajengna ningal kumaha ngarancang atanapi nyiapkeun diri urang kanggo perkembangan sekolah Alkitab.
It is clearly a biblical responsibility of every leader to attempt or to actively reproduce themselves in other leaders.
Iki tanggung jawab Alkitabiah ti unggal pamimpin nyaeta ngupayakeun atanapi secara aktif ngalairkeun pamimpin sanes.
In 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the second verse, we hear the words of the apostle Paul.
Na Timotius kadua pasal 2 ayat 2 urang ngadangu cariosan Paulus.
Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2.
Sekali deui 2 Timotius pasal 2 ayat 2.
And it reads, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Pangadika anu kuhidep kadengi ti Bapa waktu dikotbahkeun ka jalmaria kuhidep kudu diajarkeun ka jalma-jalma anu kira-kira beres pisan deui ngajarkeun kanu sejen.
Now Timothy was the son in the Lord of the apostle Paul.
Timotius nyaeta anak rohani ti Rasul Paulus.
At this time Timothy was pastoring in the church in Ephesus.
Nyandangat ayeuna Timotius ngagembalakeun gereja di Efesus.
And Paul is reminding his son in the Lord Timothy about being faithful over to his ministry.
Sareng Paulus ngimutkeun putrana secara rohani ngeunaan hiji aspek penting dina pelayanan.
Not just enough for Timothy to preach and teach and do all of the work of ministry.
tecekap kanggo Timotius khotbah ngawulang serta ngalakukeun sadaya pada malam pelayanan.
But in fact, it was vitally important for Timothy to begin to locate, if you will, other Timothys that he could pour his life into.
Nanging saleresna penting pisan kanggo Timotius ngawitan nemukeun jalmi di mana anjeunna tiasa nyurahkeun hirupna ka urang eta.
So Timothy began the process of looking for potential leaders inside the local church where he was the primary leader.
Timotius ngawitan proses milari pamimpin potensi di lebet gereja lokal di mana anjeunna pamimpin utama.
The kind of person that Timothy was supposed to look for was one who was full of faith.
Anu diharapkan Timotius nyaeta urang anu tiasa dipercaya.
But when it says faithful, it means truly that. It means to be faithful in every aspect of that person's life.
Tiasa dipercaya eta hartosna leres-leres tiasa dipercaya dina tiap aspek dina kehidupan eta jalmi.
Now the way that Timothy would determine if someone was faithful,
cara Timotius nangtukeun naha urang eta tiasa dipercaya,
would be to watch him over a period of time as he was already involved in training.
Nyaeta ngalangkungan merhatos ke jelma eta sabaraha lami samentai jelma eta parantos ngiring pelatihan.
Timothy would have to get to know the people within his congregation.
Timotius kada kenal jalmi eta di lebet jamaah.
And after a season of time, there would be certain ones within that fellowship that would begin to emerge as people truly committed to the gospel of Christ.
Sabaraha lami jalmi anu parantos ditangtukeun dina persekutuan eta ngawitan muncul saurang anu leres-leres ngabdikeun dirina ka Injil Kristus.
And it's those that he would begin to specifically work with, providing to them comprehensive training, even as Timothy had, under the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Anjeunna bade ngawitan ngadamel sasarengan secara khusus, nyiapkeun pelatihan lengkep sanaos Timotius aya dihandapkeun pelayanan Rasul Paulus.
So Timothy had a very specific objective. That was to find people who could be trained because they were already faithful.
Janten Timotius gaduh objek anu langkung spesifik nyaeta nemukeun jalma anu tiasa dilatih kumargi tiasa dipercaya.
Now the goal was not to get them to a place where they would simply be tithers and giving their offerings in the church.
Anes kanggo nempatkeun maranehna anu masihan perpuluhan sareng persembahan di gereja.
Now we all know that tithing and offerings are very important as a proof of one's faithfulness.
Urang terang yen perpuluhan sareng persembahan penting pisan janten bukti kasetiaan.
But the primary thing was to find men, women who had the ability to then take what they learned and teach others as well.
Anu utamanya eta nemukeun pamegat sareng istri anu gaduh kamampuan ngawulang naon anu parantos maranehna diajar ka jelma sanes oge di jaman bade dongkap.
And that's what Timothy focused on.
Ieu anu janten pusat perhatusan Timotius.
To find faithful men and women.
Mendatang jalma anu tiasa dipercaya.
And these faithful men and women would have a clear commitment to the word and the work of God.
Sareng jalma-jalma anu tiasa dipercaya, ieu kedah gaduh komitmen kana dauhan sareng padamelan Gusti.
Jesus taught his disciples the importance of abiding in the word.
Yesus ngawurukan murid-muridna perkawis penting ngalampahkeun dauhan Gusti.
In fact, he said, if you abide in my word and my words abide in you or live in you, you will produce much fruit and you can ask for whatever it is you need.
Jalannya Rios, mun marana tetap di rumah ket ka kami, ariman ka kami, menang barang penta naon bae, tuan wande di tedunan.
So one of the goals and objectives of educational or training ministry is to find those faithful people and make sure they're ones who will commit themselves to the study and knowledge of God's word.
Sasaran objektif ngalayanan pendidikan atanapi pelatihan nyaeta nemukeun jalma-jalma anu tiasa dipercaya sareng mastikeun anu ngabdikeun dirina nalungtik dauhan Gusti.
Not just to know it intellectually.
Kana saukur terang secara intelektual.
But to know it by experience.
Nanging teras ngalangkungan pangalaman.
So depending upon what part of the world you're in,
kumantung kana naon anu janten bagian saderek.
You may have been taught from more of a Greek mindset or more of an Eastern mindset.
Derek pangitan paranto seueur diajar di karangka pikiran Yunani atanapi ti timur.
The scriptures were written from a much more Eastern or Hebraic viewpoint.
Alkitab diserat langkung condong ke sudut pandangan timur atanapi Ibrani.
So when the Old Testament scriptures were read by the people of God,
dan waktu Alkitab perjanjian lami diaos ku umat Gusti,
they read it from a perspective of experience or feeling and action.
Ngaosna ti perspektif pangalaman atanapi perasaan sareng tindakan.
Not simply from an intellectual knowledge orientation.
Ti orientasi pangertosan intelektual wungkul.
So it wasn't just enough to learn about the Word of God.
Janten tecekap ngan diajar ngenaan dawuhan Gusti.
But to become intimate with the Word,
angin janten raket sareng dawuhanana,
in such a way that you would begin to feel it and act on it.
Sarek tiasa ngawitan ngarauskeun sareng ngalakukeun dumasar kana dawuhan.
So when the Bible says,
Pakas kitab sucinya rios,
clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Hai sakabe bangsa masing karplok paruja Allahku sorak-sorai.
The Hebrews would not just read it and say, oh, that's an interesting passage of scripture.
Bahasa Ibrani urang teu ngaos sareng unggalna kieu. Oh, eta bagian anu narik tina kitab suci.
Gee, what a good idea that is. Maybe I'll try that someday.
Oh, eta hiji ide anu sae panginten abdi. Biasanya bih jadinten.
But they would begin to clap their hands.
Ning marena ngawitan kareplok.
And begin to shout unto God.
Ngawitan sorak ka pangeran.
With an expectation of triumph.
Sareng pangharepan kamenangan.
In other words, they would experience the word.
Istilahna marena bade ngalaman dawuhan.
And then act on it.
Ngalakukeun dawuhan Gusti.
And what Paul is talking about in the book of 2 Timothy.
Nah, anu dicaraskeun Paulus dina 2 Timotius.
It's fine young men and young women that are so alive in God that they will not only listen to the word and hear the word, but they will act on it with all of their heart.
Nyaeta nemukeun pamaket sareng istri anu sumanget sanes ngadangu sareng terang dawuhan Gusti nanging ngalakukeunana ku sapinuh hate.
You see, the long-term goal was to develop a true, consistent Christian lifestyle.
Katanya terang tujuan jangka panjangnya eta ngembangkan gaya hidup Kristen anu leres-leres konsisten.
In Romans, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse.
Ayat keempat.
Again, Romans chapter 6, verse 4.
Kaide Roma pasal genep ayat opat.
The Bible says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
Kulantaran geus dibaptis urang teh geus milu pae sarta dikubur bareng jeung anjeunna, malar bisa asup ka alam hirup anu anyar sakuma Kristus oke ku kawasarama geus dihirupkeun deui tinu maraot.
So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that the purpose, even of our baptism into Christ, is to learn to walk a faithful or consistent lifestyle.
Enten naon anu diharuskeun ku Paulus di dieu nyaeta maksadna baptisan urang dina Kristus nyaeta kanggo diajar ngalakukeun gaya hirup anu satia sareng konsisten.
Now ultimately, that is what your goal is in the educational process.
Dina puncakna ieu tujuan saderek dina proses pendidikan.
The earning of degrees would be a wonderful thing.
Inggelar mangrupikeun hal anu sae.
Having certificates on the wall may indicate that you have studied to show yourself approved.
Ada sertifikat anu dipajang di pidik tiasa nuduhkeun yen saderek parantos diajar kanggo nembongkeun diri saderek diangkeun.
But the biblical perspective is that you be fully equipped so that you can fulfill your role in the kingdom of God.
Mengisat perspektif Alkitab nyata sederek dilengkapan sepenuhnya supados sederek tiasa nyumponan peranan sederek di kerajaan Allah.
Now again, the goal that we've seen for the training of men and women has been to prepare them for greater service.
Kali ini tujuan kanggo pelatihan pamaket sareng istri nyaeta kanggo nyiapkeun ngalayanan anu langkung ageng.
The place of that training is the local community where the believers gather.
Tempat ngalete eta nyaeta komunitas lokal di mana orang percaya eta ngariung.
And the focus is to prepare men and women for full-time service in God's vineyard.
Fokusnya nyaeta nyiapkeun pamaket sareng istri kanggo ngalayanan sapinuh waktu dina ladang Gusti.
So some of you might be thinking,
aya sabaraha ti saderek ngimut,
oh, the purpose of a training institute is to prepare pastors to pastor churches.
Oh, tujuan pelatihan nyaeta nyiapkeun pangasuh keur jemaah.
Well, ultimately we hope that many will mature to a place that they fulfill that highest level of gifting and calling.
Dina puncakna abdi miharep yen seueur anu bade janten dewasa dugi ka tingkat pangluhurna dina kurnia sareng panyaur maranehna.
That highest level being that of fivefold ministry as gifts to the body of Christ.
Tingkat pangluhurnanya eta lima pelayanan ka salira Kristus.
But Paul's focus was that every believer be trained.
Angin fokus Paulusnya eta supaya unggal orang percaya dilatih.
For every believer is to be a warrior in the kingdom of God.
Tiap orang percaya janten prajurit kerajaan Allah.
Therefore, one of the objectives of a training center.
Margeta, hiji objektif pusat latihan.
Is to take any young man, young woman, older woman to a place of full equipping as a soldier in the kingdom of God. Yaitu
nyandak nungora istri sareng pameget nu langkung dewasa. Kanggo ngalengkepan sapinuhna salaku prajurit dina karajaan Allah.
A soldier must have on the whole armor of God.
Orang prajurit kedah ngagunakeun perlengkapan senjata Allah.
And they must know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Maranehna kedah terang kumaha ngagunakeun pedang roh nyaeta dawuhan Gusti.
The last thing we'd want to see is to send someone out to battle when they have no armor and no weapon to fight.
Perkawisan akhir anu bade urang tinggal nyaeta ngutus saurang ka medan perang waktos maranehna teu gaduh senjata kanggo perang.
So who should be in the Bible Training Institute? Every believer needs to get equipped to fulfill their call in God.
Janten saha anu kedah aya dina sakola Alkitab? Unggal jelma percaya peryogi dilengkapan kanggo panyaur marena dilebet Gusti.
Now, the Apostle Paul did have a specific goal also in his ministry.
Rasul Paulus kaduh sasaran spesifik dina ngalayanan.
And it's discussed in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5.
Dina 1 Timotius pasal 1 ayat 5.
1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5.
1 Timotius pasal 1 ayat 5.
And it says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith.
Pamenta kieu teh sajangah hudang deui kanyataan anu bijil ti ati anu wening kaluar tina pikiran anu mencerang tina iman anu ikhlas.
What was Paul's goal?
Naon tujuan Paulus?
It wasn't a degree.
Anas hiji gelar.
It wasn't a position.
Anas posisi.
Or a place of power.
Tanapi kekuasaan.
But Paul had some very important goals that he lists here in this word. Anas
Paulus gaduh sababaraha tujuan anu penting pisan anu didaftarkeun di dieu dina dawuhan.
Number one, most important goal is love.
Kahiji tujuan anu pang pentingna nyaeta kanyaah.
Well, that's so simple.
Eta sederhana pisan.
It's simple to talk about, but not always easy or simple to have within your heart.
Gampil dicaroskeun nanging teu gampil gaduh dina hate saderek.
Since all believers at one time lived in the world of darkness,
umat kisah jalma percanten kapungkul hirup dina dunya poek.
They have now come into the world of light, into the kingdom of
Christ.
But when they came into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they brought with them, in their soul, much of the hurts and wounds and misperceptions of the past. Mereka
kemarin datang ke kerajaan Gusti, sareng juru selamat urang Yesus Kristus, nyandak jiwana, seueur raheut, sareng nyerehate, sareng lepat persepsi zaman kapungkur.
It is through the study of the Word of God, through prayer and other spiritual disciplines that the mind, the will, and the emotions become transformed.
Kalangkungan diajar dewan Gusti, doa sareng disiplin rohani sanesna, di mana imutan kahoyong sareng perasaan dirobih.
Part of the goal of Paul's instruction was to build a deeper sense of agape love in the lives of the believers.
Paulus nyaeta ngawangun kasadaran anu langkung lebet ti kanyaah agape di kahirupan urang percaya.
That is to get them to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves.
Eta ngajatankeun maranehna mikanya Gusti ku sagembengna hate, jiwa, pikiran sareng kakiatan sareng sasama manusia sapertos diri sorangan.
As leaders, that should be one of our goals.
Kana ku pamimpin kedah janten hiji tujuan urang.
And where does that love come from?
Di mana asalna kanyaah?
It comes, the Bible says, from a pure heart.
Saurang kita mah kanyaah asalna ti hate anu suci.
That's the center of one's being having been purified by the washing of the water with the Word of God.
Teteh pusat kayaan dimurnikeun ku cai sareng dauhan Gusti.
When a man's heart is pure,
waktos hatena suci.
When a woman's heart is clean,
waktos hatena murni.
It's much easier for them to love God without fear and love their fellow man without shame.
Langkung gampil kanggo maranehna mikanya pangeran terasa sieun sareng mikanya kasasama teera.
Then he says the second primary goal is a good conscience.
Lajeng anjeunna nyarios tujuan utama kaduanya eta hate nurani anu murni.
In the original language that means co-perception.
Dina bahasa aslina hartosna persepsi tiis.
In other words, what Paul is talking about is simply that he wanted every believer to have the mind of Christ.
Katanya naon anu dicarioskeun ku Paulus nyaeta anjeunna leres mikahoyong unggal jalmi percaya gaduh pikiran Kristus.
That is a conscience that had been purified by the Word of God in such a way that they would think even like Jesus thinks.
Eta teh hati nurani anu parantos dimurnikeun ku dauhan Gusti di mana marena bakal mikir sami sapertos pikiran Kristus.
So having facts and figures can be fine.
Janten langkung sae gaduh fakta sareng gambaran.
It's certainly helpful to know where all the books of the Bible are.
Langkah nulung kanggo terang di mana tempat kitab di mana Alkitab.
It's a great blessing to memorize many, many scriptures.
Ia mangrupikeun berkat ageng kanggo ngemut seueur ayat kitab suci.
But remember, David said, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you."
Nanging emut Daud nyarios, dina hate abdi nyimpen janji anjeun supaya abdi teu dosa ka anjeun.
And when you have a clear conscience,
waktu saderek gaduh hate nurani anu murni,
when you have the mind of Christ,
waktu saderek gaduh pikiran Kristus,
racism is not a problem.
Rasisme sanes masalah.
Because you don't see black, white, yellow, red, you see Jesus.
Umarki saderek deningal jalmi anu kulitna hideung, bodas, kuning, beureum, saderek ningal Yesus.
Rich or poor, it doesn't make any difference.
Penghar atanami miskin jantan perbentenan.
Because we see them all as special and important in the plans and purposes
Mali
of
orang
God.
Ningal maranena salaku orang anu istimewa sareng penting dina rancangan sareng maksad Gusti.
And the third goal was, it says here, is a sincere faith.
Tujuan katilu dijelaskeun di dieu iman anu tulus ikhlas.
Now the word faith here means a faithful faith.
Kecap iman di dieu hartosna iman saurang anu satia.
That is being faithful over time.
Iman anu satia diuji ku waktu.
Which is really the way to find success in the kingdom of God.
Anu leres-leres mangrupikeun cara kanggo nemukeun sukses dina kerajaan Allah.
It's simply faithfulness to the Lord over time.
Pada kasatiaan ka pangeran sairing sareng waktu nu kalangkung.
But this is a sincere faithfulness.
Anging ieu kasatiaan anu tulus ikhlas.
Now remember, I said the scriptures were written from a Hebrew viewpoint.
Kemot abinyarios yen Alkitab diserati sudut pandangan Ibrani.
So Paul wouldn't be saying, "Oh, as long as you think faithful, feel faithful, you're faithful."
Tenten Paulus tenyarios, "Oh, salami anjen ngemut satia, ngaros satia, janten anjen satia."
But it's a faith that is acted upon.
Nenging ieu iman anu ngalakukeun.
So the goal of the instruction,
dan tujuan instruksi eta,
was to change the heart,
eta kanggo ngarubah hate,
to change the mind,
ngarubah imutan,
and to release or to loose God's people to do great things in His kingdom.
Ngalepaskeun atanapi ngantep imutan Gusti ngalakukeun perkawis-perkawis ageng dina karajaanana.
And that's still the goal for every training institute and every church around the world.
Kita memang merupakan tujuan kanggo unggal pelatihan sareng unggal gereja di sakuliah dunia.
Well, let's take a look at the philosophy of education or of developing a training institute.
Mangga orang tingali filosofi pendidikan atanapi ngembangkan hiji sakolah pelatihan.
One of my favorite passages of scripture is Luke chapter 2 verse 52.
Terasa di bagian anu abdi resep dina Alkitab nyaeta Lukas pasal 2 ayat 52.
That's Luke chapter 2 verse 52.
Lukas pasal 2 ayat 52.
And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Yesus begi ageng, begi pinter, serta begi diasih ku Allah, dipikarsep ku sasama.
Now putting this scripture in context,
dina konteks ieu,
Jesus is 12 years of age.
Yesus yuswana 12 tahun.
He had just come to Jerusalem with his parents.
Anjana tacan nami angkat ke Yerusalem sarang sepuhna.
He had sat down with some of the leading religious leaders of the day.
Anjana calik sareng pamimpin-pamimpin agama waktu sarita.
Jesus demonstrated tremendous knowledge of the word of God.
Yesus nembongkeun ilmu anu aheng perkawis dauhan Gusti.
He asked questions that confounded the leaders of the day.
Anjana masian patarasan anu ngabingungkeun para pamimpin waktu sarita.
Now I wanted to know what school Jesus went to.
Abdi hayang terang Yesus dididik dina sakolah naon.
Because that school must have been tremendous to train him as well as he was by age 12.
Pemarke sakolah eta parantos ngalatih anjeunna sareng kaahengan dina yuswa anu 12 taun.
Well, he went to the same school that every little Jewish child went to.
Anjeunna angkat ka sakolah anu sami sareng murangkalih Yahudi sanesna.
Primarily studied at home.
Utamina diajar di bumi.
Primarily with his father.
Sareng ramana.
Who would tell him all the stories about the plans and purposes of God from the Old Testament.
Anu nyaraskan perkawis rencana sareng tujuan Allah dina perjanjian lami.
Jesus would have been taught to read at a fairly young age.
Yesus parantos diajar kanggo ngaos kinten-kinten dina usia anu anom kene.
But up until this time there was nothing that special seen in the life of Jesus.
Nanging dugi ka ayeuna teu aya anu katingal istimewa dina kehidupan Yesus.
Now we know that Jesus is the Son of God.
Orang terang yen Yesus teh nya eta putra Allah.
He must have had an intelligence level higher than anybody that ever existed.
Karena jana gaduh tingkat kapinteran anu langkung luhur ti sahabai.
He was already full of the things of God.
Anjana parantos pinuh sareng perkawis-perkawis ti Allah.
And he already had a sense about his life that he had to be about his Father God's business.
Sareng anjana gaduh kasadaran ngeunaan kahirupanana yen anjana nanganan urusan ramana.
That's why I was so amazed when I read this scripture.
Eta margina abdi ruas waktos ngaos Alkitab.
Because it says Jesus grew.
Margi dijelaskan Yesus tambih ageng.
It means Jesus matured.
Hartosna Yesus tambih dewasa.
Does that mean he was immature?
Naon hartosna anjeunna tambih dewasa?
Just like all of us.
Tambih sapartos urang.
Jesus was at one time of his life quite immature.
Di waktos Yesus tatan dewasa.
And he needed to grow.
Anjeunna proyog itu muwuh.
Well, if he needed to grow, how much more do we need to grow? And here the scripture says he grew in four primary areas of life. It says he kept increasing in wisdom. That would be in the mental area of life or the cognitive area of life.
Ya dina area mental tetapi area kognitif.
That means he had to know how to read.
Hartosna anjeunna kudah terang kumaha ngaos.
How to study?
Kumaha ngapalkeun?
How to think analytically?
Kumaha ngimot secara analitis?
How to problem solve different issues and situations in his life?
Pangaresakeun masalah rupi pokok sareng situasi dina kahirupanana.
Beginning at age 12, he became an apprentice in his father's area of business, a carpenter.
Awitan dina yuswa 12 taun anjeunna magang dina area usaha ramana tukang kayu.
Carpentry takes more than just swinging a hammer and hitting nails.
Padamna tukang kayu langkung ti sakedar ngayunkeun palu sareng maku.
You have to know how to measure.
Sakedar terang kumaha ngukur.
How to plan.
Kumaha ngarancanakeunana.
How to lay things out properly before building a building.
Kumaha nyimpan barang-barang satacan ngawangun hiji gedong.
And he had to know how to weigh the cost.
Terang kedah terang kumaha ngabarutengna.
So Jesus grew in the mental area of his life, and so do we need to grow in our mind.
Dan Yesus tumuwuh dina bidang mental, sareng urang oge perlu tumuwuh dina pikiran urang.
And it says he grew in stature.
Dijelaskeun ajeuna tumuwuh sacara salira.
Or physically.
Tanapi jasmani.
There's many people I've found in the church that they are so spiritual in their mind, but they do nothing with their body. There are people that have a strong call of God upon their life, but will never fulfill their destiny because their physical temple is so run down.
Nyata jalma anu gaduh panyaur Gusti nanging teu pernah saluyu sareng tujuan kumarki jasmanina awon pisan.
So thank God for healing.
Syukur ka Gusti tidak mangkeun.
But how much better it would be to live in health and not have to get healed.
Nanging langkung saya umpami dina kayaan sehat sareng teu priyogi tidak mangkeun.
So Jesus not just grew intellectually but also physically.
Yesus dengan saukur tumubuh secara intelek nanging oge secara jasmani.
And third it says he grew in favor with God.
Katilu disaurkeun anjeunna diasih ku Allah.
The grace of God was in his life, or if you will, he had to also grow spiritually.
Asih Allah nyaeta dina hirupna tanapi tiasa dicaroskeun anjeunna oge kedah tumubuh secara rohani.
Now how did Jesus grow spiritually?
Ayeuna kumaha Yesus tumubuh?
Same way we do.
Kami sapertos urang.
He spent time in the synagogue studying the word of God.
Anjeunna ngaluangkeun waktu di sinagog nganalungtik dawuhan Gusti.
He spent much time in prayer alone with his Father.
Anjeunna ngaluangkeun seueur waktu dina doa nyalira sareng ramana.
He would have learned to worship just like all of us learn to do.
Anjeunna parantos diajar nyembah sami sapertos urang.
He learned obedience and submission to the authorities over him, especially his parents.
Diajar taat tunduk kana otoritas di saluhureun anjeunna nyaeta pangutamana sepuhna.
And through that process, he grew spiritually in closer, intimate relationship with his father.
Langkungan proses eta anjeunna tumuwuh secara rohani dina hubungan anu raket, langkung akrab sareng ramana.
But he also grew in the social area of life.
Anjeunna oge tumuwuh dina area sosial dina hirup.
Or in favor with man.
Tapi beki dipika asih ku jelema.
Oh, what do I mean by that?
Naon maksudna?
Well, simply Jesus liked people and got along well with them.
Maksudnya eta Yesus mikaresep ka jelema akrab sareng maranehna.
He would have learned to shake hands in a proper way.
Anjeunna parantos diajar sasalaman anu tepat.
He would smile his big beautiful smile when someone greeted him.
Jeuna ningalikeun imutna anu manis waktu sasalaman.
He would have learned proper manners and ways of doing things within his community.
Diajar tata krama anu pas sareng ngalakukeun hal dina kelompokna.
And he was very friendly to whoever was in his community.
Ramah ka sahabat anu aya dina kelompokna.
In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was the friend of sinners.
Alkitab nyaraskeun yen Yesus teh sobatna jalmi dosa.
One of the sad commentaries that I see in the church.
Salah saja komentar gereja anu nyedihkeun.
That after a certain period of time, we lose all touch with sinners.
Nyata saparanto sabaraha lami urang kalengitan sadaya jamahan ka jalma anu dosa.
We look at them as someone to reach for Christ alone.
Urang terang marena sapertos anu bade dijangko kanggo Kristus bae.
But we forget that they're people.
Urang hilap yen maranena teh manusa.
Deserving of love and respect.
Ayak nampi ka asih sareng hormat.
And Jesus showed great respect to those that were down and out and poor and discouraged.
Jesus ningalikeun rasa hormat anu luar biasa ka maranehna anu ancur, anu kasisikeun, nu miskin sareng nu kuciwa.
And because he did, they gathered to him.
Margi anjeunna mikanya maranehna, maranehna ngariung saketenana.
See, part of the philosophy of an educational ministry.
Bagian tina filosofi ngalayana pendidikan
is to develop whole people with a whole belief in the fullness of the things of God.
Nyaeta ngembangkan manusia nu utuh sareng sadaya keyakinan dina kapinuhan Allah.
It's important to develop a balanced life.
Penting kanggo ngembangkan kahirupan anu imbang.
Not so spiritual that we can't remember what it's like to be a real human being.
Tarohani teuing dugi ka urang teu tiasa imut naon rasana janten manusia anu utuh.
And the training within the local church must focus on all four of those areas to be properly balanced.
Sareng latihan dina gereja lokal kedah fokus ka opat pelayanan supados imbang sareng pas.
Part of the model for education was found long time ago in the book of Deuteronomy.
Model kanggo pendidikan kapendak ngawitan di kitab Pamindo.
It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Kapendak dina Pamindo pasal 6.
We're going to read verses 1 through we'll say 9. 1 through 9.
Kurang badai ngaos ayat 7 dugi ka ayat 8.
Deuteronomy 6 verses 1 through 9. Read it with us.
Pamindo 6 ayat 7 dugi ka 8. Aos sasarengan.
Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it.
Eta parentahnya eta ketetapan sareng paraturan anu kami ajarkeun ka anjeun parentah pangeran Allah anjeun kanggo dilakukeun dina di negeri ka mana anjeun angkat nyicingan.
So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life and that your days may be prolonged.
Pada saumur hirup anjeun jeung anak putu sian ka pangeran Allah anjeun sareng nyepeng katetapan sareng parintahna anu didugikeun ka anjeun sareng supaya panjang umur.
O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey.
Kehendak umat Israel lakukan eta sing sabtia supaya alus kayan anjen sareng anjen janten nyeoran sapertos anu dijanjikeun Pangeran Allah karuhun anjen di hiji nagri anu luber susu jeung maduna.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Sarengkeun he urang Israel Pangeran teh Allah urang Pangeran teh Esa.
And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
Asingnya ka Pangeran Allah anjeun jeung sapinuh hate, jeung sapinuh jiwa, jeung sapinuh kakuatan.
And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart.
Naon anu diperintahkeun ka anjeun dina poe ieu kudu di
And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Diajarkeun diulang-ulang ka barudak waktos saralik, di imah nuju di jalan waktos ngagoler waktos hudang.
Let's stop there with the reading of the word. Here Moses is getting ready to release the children of Israel into the promised land.
Di mana Musa siap ngalepaskan umat Israel lebet ka tanah perjanjian.
He's giving them his last will and testament.
Sareng masihan wasiat sareng warisanana.
Exhorting them to follow this one thing.
Adorong maranehna kanggo ngiringan hal ieu.
That one thing is to take everything that I've taught you.
Ieu hal nyaeta ngalakukeun sagala anu parantos diajarkeun ka anjeun.
Apply it to your life.
Terapkeun eta dina hirup anjeun.
Allow the Lord to fill you with His love, plan, and purpose.
Ijinkeun Pangeran ngeusi hirup anjeun sareng ka Nyaah, rencana sareng maksudna.
And then teach it again and again and again to your sons and daughters until they understand it in their hearts.
Ajeng ajarkeun deui sareng deui ka barudak dugi ka maranehna ngartos dina hate maranehna.
What Moses is saying is that it's through the reinforcement of the truth of God's word provided over and over again that our lives are changed and our purpose and path is set in the right direction for the Lord.
Naon anu dicaraskeun ke Musa nyaeta ngalangkungan tambihan kebenaran dauhan Pangeran anu sayogi diulang di mana hirup urang Robi sareng maksud sarta jalan urang ditetepkeun dina arah anu leres kanggo Pangeran.
That is the pattern in the Word of God.
Kita pola dawuhan Pangeran.
We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the life of Christ. We see it in the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Terang-terang dina perjanjian lami orang nyaksikan ia dina kehidupan Kristus, oke dina pelayanan rasul-rasul.
But if you're going to develop a Bible Institute,
ingin umpami sadarak badai ngembangkan hiji sekolah Alkitab,
And honestly, every local church around the world needs to have a church-based Bible training center.
Para jujur, unggal gereja lokal di sealam dunia preyogi gaduh gereja anu dumasar kana pusat pelatihan Alkitab.
You have to be willing and able to plan for it and make it a priority in your life and ministry.
Tarek kedah kersa sareng mampu ngarencanakeun dan tenken etal eta jadi prioritas hirup sareng pelayanan saderek.
So how do you begin to plan or prepare for a Bible Institute?
Masarek ngawitan ngarancanakeun atanapi nyiapkeun sekolah Alkitab.
Well, first it's important to be sure of your own calling.
Kahiji, penting mungguhkeun panyaur saderek.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10,
dina 2 Petrus pasal 1 ayat 10
2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10
Dan 2 Petrus pasal 1 ayat 10 diserat kieu
It says therefore brethren be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you for as long as you practice these things you will never stumble
Sabab eta kudu tareka sakuat-kuat sangkan panyaur jeung pamilih Allah karan jenteh ngajadi rek-rek pageuh umpama geus bisa kitu pamohalan arancentik.
What is the Apostle Peter talking about here?
Naon dicariskeun Rasul Petrus di dieu?
He's talking about the virtues of God that must be built into the life of every believer.
Anjeunna nyaos ngeunaan kasayan Gusti kedah diwangun dina kahirupan satiap urang percaya.
And it starts with a diligent application by faith of the Word of God to your life.
Awitan sareng nerapkeun anu giat ku iman dauhan Gusti ka hirup saderek.
As leaders in the body of Christ,
salaku pamimpin dina salira Kristus,
you know that the hand of God is upon you.
Saderek terang yen panangan Gusti aya di luhureun saderek.
You know that the Spirit of God is within your spirit.
Roh Gusti aya di dina roh saderek.
That's why you have a hunger for His Word.
Sebabna saderek gaduh rasa lapar kana dauhanana.
That's why you're watching these training programs right now.
Sebabna saderek nyaksikeun program pelatihan ieu ayeuna.
But Peter's just simply saying, make sure you're fully convinced of your own calling.
Angin Petrus nyario saderek kedah yakin kana panyaur.
Because I believe with all of my heart that many of you watching this video have a call to develop training ministry in your local church.
Abdi percantan sapinuh hate yen seueur ti saderek anu nyaksikeun video ieu kaduh panyaur kanggo ngembangkeun pelayanan pelatihan dina gereja lokal.
And God may very well use you to take the gospel of the kingdom to many other parts of the world.
Setiasa nganggo saderek sareng ngalangkung sae kanggo nyandak Injil kerajaan ka sadaya dunya.
So you must be sure of your calling and that it's really of the Holy Spirit.
Saderek kedah yakin panyaur sareng eta leres ti Roh Suci.
It's also important to remember that no ministry should be a one-person focused ministry.
Penting oge diimut yen teu aya pelayanan anu pusatna ngan saurang bae.
Peter was not just Peter's ministry. He had the other apostles that worked with him.
Petrus sanes saukur ngalayanan Petrus anjeunna gaduh rasul sanes sasarengan.
Paul had Barnabas, later Silas, and many others that traveled with him on his missionary ventures.
Ado Barnabas, Silas, sareng seueur anu sanes anu nguriling sareng anjeunna dina pelayanan misi.
You must be willing, of course, to weigh the cost.
Are kedah sayogi tangtos kanggo ngetang biayana.
It takes a great commitment to train people in the kingdom of God.
Diperlukan komitmen luar biasa kanggo ngalatih jelema dina karajan Allah.
But there's no greater joy.
Angin teu aya sok kagembira anu langkung ageung.
Than seeing young men and young women.
Tibatan ningal barudak ngora istri sareng pameget.
Who have listened to the teaching of the Word of God.
Parantos ngadangukeun dawuhan Gusti.
And when you see the light go on in their head.
Atos sadarek ningal ceang nembus imutan maranehna.
As God begins to illuminate His Word.
Atas Gusti ngawitan masihan caang kana dauhanana.
And then to see how their lives are transformed by that Word.
Salajengna ningali kumaha kahirupan maranehna dirobih ku dauhan.
And then the great joy.
Salajengna sukagembira anu luar biasa.
Of hearing them preach the Word.
Adangu maranehna kutbah.
Begin to teach others.
Ngawitan ngaurukan nu sanes.
Evangelize their community.
Awarkani Injil.
And even become a part of planting other churches wherever God leads them.
Anggota janten bagian melak jemaat di mana baik Gusti ngutus.
They may even preach better than you or I do.
Kutban halangkung saya ti abdi.
But that's also a great joy.
Eta oge hiji suka gembira luar biasa.
Because look what God is doing.
Margi ningali naon anu dipidamel Gusti.
Through the fruit of the training institute.
Alangkungan hasil pelatihan.
The last thing is networking is a big key.
Dina akhir dina kerja sasarengan nyaeta kunci utama.
To find other men and women.
Nemukan pamegat sareng istri.
within your sphere of influence,
dina lingkungan pangaruh saderek,
who carry the same desire to equip God's saints to the fullness of maturity.
Anu nyandak ka hoyong anu sami kanggo ngalengkapan jalmi-jalmi suci ka kedewasaan pinuh.
And when God knits your life together,
Waktu Gusti ngadamel hirup saderek,
empowers you by the Spirit of God,
payakeun ngalangkuan Roh Gusti,
and you begin to faithfully and systematically train God's people in your local church,
saderek ngawitan ngalatih umat Gusti satia sistematis dina gereja lokal,
you will bear fruit,
saderek badhe ngahasilkeun buah,
and your fruit will remain.
Buahna anu anger.
May God bless you.
Gusti ngaberkahan.